The Index Astartes, a history of the Space Marine Legions and subsequent chapters, where appropriate, up to the 13th Black Crusade, the Word Bearers. While the vast majority of Chaos Space Marines are known for their unyielding bitterness towards the Imperium of Man, there are few who could match the depths of hatred of the Word Bearers. Armed with zealous faith in Chaos in all its myriad forms, the Wordbearers waged an unholy war against man even before the Horus Heresy erupted. Lorgar, Primarch of the Wordbearers' Legion of Space Marines, was known as one of the most scrupulous and dedicated followers of the Imperial cult. His zeal in persecuting the enemies of the Emperor was almost unmatched by any of his brother Primarchs, and many were those who felt him to be the most devoted of the Primarchs. It was on the world of Colchis that his character was to be formed, one of the first worlds settled in mankind's exploration of the stars. Its continental masses were dotted with strange, crumbling edifices, and no amount of exploration or research could fathom their purpose. Explorators at the time of the Great Crusade put the date of its first settlement somewhere around the 16th millennium, though it is impossible to be certain. Imperial scholars and historians believe that the world of Colchis was once highly advanced technologically, but fell into anarchy during the turbulent times known as the Age of Strife, and that its population regressed to the level of a feudal society. Few records remain of the society that arose from the ashes of the Age of Strife, save those penned by Lorgar himself, and these are sealed in the deepest vaults of the Library Sanctus on Terra. Various fragments of these records are reproduced in the Speculum Historiae, the exhaustive history of the Great Crusade, penned by the historian Capinus. In his description of Colchis, Capinus tells of a caste of priests calling themselves the Covenant, who rebuilt the shattered society of Colchis, on the promise that a great leader would one day come to deliver them from the darkness their world had descended into. With harsh religious observance, the Covenant's strict dogma became a gigantic monolithic belief structure that permeated every facet of daily life on Colchis. Of Lorgar's coming, Capinus speaks of a fiery comet smashing into the foremost temple of the Covenant, bearing the infant Primarch, while Lorgar himself often made oblique references to his pilgrimage to Colchis. Another tale tells of the arrival of a strange golden-skinned child at the doors of the Covenant's largest temple, asking to be schooled in their ways. The child was taken into the temple and given the name of Lorgar, growing to manhood within its walls, and quickly mastering the many tenets and codes of faith imposed by the Covenant. The truth of the matter will, in all likelihood, never be known. And though the answers may lie in the blasted words of the Liber Malum, its pages must never again be opened. However it came to pass, Lorgar became a devout member of the Covenant, taking fiery words of faith to every corner of the globe, where the power of his oratory and charisma won many supporters. He rose rapidly through the ranks, and though the people of Colchis loved him, he had enemies within the Covenant who grew jealous of his popularity and challenged to their power. The Speculum Historiae speaks of a tale told by Lorgar to Conrad Kurz, Primarch of the Night Lords, during the victory celebrations on Buriant following the defeat of the Arch-Heretic of Dullarth. Lorgar spoke of strange dreams and visions that afflicted him in his early years. In them, he saw a mighty warrior in gleaming armor with a helm of bronze and a shining sword. A giant, in blue robes with but a single, unblinking eye, stood behind him, speaking of his lord's coming to Colchis and that Lorgar must be ready for him. Lorgar was convinced that this mighty warrior was the divine leader the Canticles of the Covenant had promised. At the urging of Corferon, his closest friend, began spreading the word that their god would soon be amongst them. People flocked to hear his words, and waves of popular support followed Lorgar wherever he preached. This was the opportunity Lorgar's enemies within the Covenant had been waiting for, and they denounced him as a heretic, fearing the threat to the status quo and their power. Lorgar's supporters rallied around him, fighting and killing the soldiers of the Covenant who came to arrest him. Lorgar himself fought with strength and passion for his cause, and each time the Covenant's warriors came for him, he slew them. His enemies had vastly underestimated the depth of belief in Lorgar's words, and the Covenant split into two factions, each deeply opposed to the other's belief, and each believing that only they could save their people. A holy war, of horrific proportions erupted, with more and more of the population forced to choose sides as the battles grew larger and spread across the planet. For 6 years, the fighting raged across Colchis, and many were the atrocities carried out in the name of holy righteousness. Lorgar's supporters were outnumbered, but they were led by a Primarch, and his strength and power were beyond compare. Lorgar fought many battles, learning the ways of war with astounding rapidity. His inspired words roused his armies to undreamed-of heights of courage and devotion, binding them to the promise of their saviour's coming, and the priests of the Covenant could do nothing to stop him. Eventually, Lorgar led his people to victory, storming the temple he had trained in and killing all the priests within. With the end of the war, the people awaited the arrival of the divine being promised by Lorgar, and less than a year after the final battle, a mighty skyborne vessel descended to the temple on a trail of fire. The Apocrypha of Skaros tells that the Emperor and Magnus the Red descended to Colchis with two squads of Thousand Suns Space Marines to meet its mighty war leader. Lorgar dropped to one knee, immediately recognizing the Emperor from his visions, and swore his undying fealty to him. Under Lorgar's rule, every facet of the Covenant's belief structure was devoted to the worship of the Emperor, and the population of Colchis rejoiced, united behind their new and wondrous god. The elaborate celebrations and pious displays of devotion lasted for many months, and recent translations of some of the more obscure passages within the Speculum Historiae infer that the delays enforced on the Great Crusade by the lengthy shows of fealty Lorgar offered chafed at the Emperor, who wished to resume the conquest of the galaxy as swiftly as possible. These same scholars cite later events in the Great Crusade as further proof of this, though others point to Carpinus's revisionist tendencies and claim that such interpretations are based on the venerable historian's hindsight. At the conclusion of the celebrations, the Emperor offered Lorgar command of the Wordbearers and bade him take his best and bravest warriors to become Space Marines for his Praetorian Guard. Lorgar accepted the honor the Emperor offered him and decreed that he would leave Colchis and take his place at the Emperor's side. He appointed faithful followers to minister to his people in his absence, garbed himself in battle gear, and departed with the Emperor and Magnus. Lorgar led his legion throughout the glory years of the Great Crusade, setting out to eradicate and destroy all forms of blasphemy and heresy that threatened the Emperor's realm. All manner of ancient scrolls, books, artworks, and icons were burned and smashed before the advancing ranks of the legion. In their place, vast monuments and cathedrals, all dedicated to the Emperor, were erected upon the mounds of dead of those who had resisted conversion. The greatest chaplains of the Legion produced enormous works on the divinity and righteousness of the Emperor, and Lorgar himself delivered countless speeches and sermons, converting millions to the Emperor with his words alone. The progress of the Wordbearers was slow, but complete. None escaped the Crozius or the Bolter. Entire worlds were scoured of the living for their refusal to submit to the will of the Emperor. When the Emperor took note of Lorgar's slow advance across the stars, he personally reproached his Primarch. He informed Lorgar that his purpose was not for faith, but for battle. The true mission of the Space Marines was to reconquer and unify the galaxy under the banner of the Imperium, not to waste precious time and resources in vast displays of fealty and piety. Lorgar was stunned. Upon returning to his personal battleship, the Fidelitas Lex, the Primarch refused to speak to any of his lieutenants or chaplains. He removed his power armor and wore nothing but sackcloth, his golden skin greased with ash, his hair torn and disheveled. He mourned the Emperor's command for a month, and the Legion of the Wordbearers stood idle and silent within the depths of space, waiting for a command, any command, to be issued by their Primarch. The Master of Mankind did not remain ignorant of Lorgar's reaction. The Emperor was on the verge of once again reprimanding his tardy Primarch, when news came that the Legion had suddenly renewed its campaign. Worlds now fell before the Wordbearers like ripe grain. The assaults were quick and devastating. No longer did Lorgar offer redemption or salvation to those he set his Legion against. The embittered Primarch offered only the sword, and in his wrath, the Holocausts were unnumbered. Pleased with what he saw as progress, the Emperor turned his eyes towards other matters. What he could not know is that he had already been betrayed. The Wordbearers were the first legion to be fully corrupted by chaos. While it is true that Horus was the first of the Primarchs to be tainted, and his sons of Horus were the first legion to openly rebel, in truth, it was the Wordbearers who were the first to fully embrace Chaos as an entire legion. When the Emperor rebuked Lorgar's show of devotion, the Primarch turned his gaze towards gods who would be more worthy of his dedication. In Chaos, Lorgar found what he was searching for. Beyond all mortal comprehension, the gods of Chaos welcomed, even demanded worship. As such, they were initially generous with Lorgar, as his devotion to gods that accepted his worship unquestioningly was second to none. Lorgar's ego, however, would not allow him to become any single god's champion, instead preferring to worship Chaos in its myriad, infinite forms. The Wordbearers came to worship Chaos as a pantheon of countless gods and goddesses, dark princes and ethereal powers that writhed and seethed in the haunted depths of the Immaterium. Lorgar would later say that as he turned his faith to Chaos, a veil lifted from his eyes, and he was able to see the Emperor for what he was. Not his god at all, but an irreverent man who had failed to grasp that what humanity needed above all else was religious domination. That could only be provided by godlike beings such as himself. The resultant submission and fealty to Chaos would allow mankind to stave off the countless alien hordes that sought to overwhelm and destroy the young Imperium. At first, the Legion kept their new faith secret, unaware that Chaos had already tainted many of their brethren. Once Horus openly defied the Emperor, and his Legion renounced all ties to Imperial authority, the Wordbearers openly cast their lot in with the side of Chaos. The second Legion to spit on their oaths of loyalty, the Wordbearers soon set upon the Legion they had come to despise the most, the Legion of Rabute Gilliman, the Ultramarines. While the Emperor had chastised the Wordbearers, they watched with jealous hearts as he championed the Ultramarines as his finest warriors. When the heresy erupted and the shackles of loyalty were cast off, the Wordbearers set upon the sons of Ultramar with unbridled hatred. The Ultramarines were initially stunned, and Lorgar was able to push them back to Ultramar, the region of space that the Ultramarines govern and defend. It was upon the world of Kalf that the final battle would take place. Famed for its orbital shipyards, Kalf was a typical world of Ultramar. Its inhabitants were wealthy and generous, knowing little in the ways of want or fear. In many ways, theirs was a paradise, and as such it was not to last. When the Wordbearers launched their attack against the Ultramarines, the strike against Kalf was led by one of Lorgar's greatest champions, the former Master of the Faith, Cor Pheron. This mighty champion swore to utterly destroy the planet, and was very nearly successful. From his personal battle barge, now renamed Infidious Imperator, Cor Pheron directed a full-scale invasion of the Kalf system. Kalf's three sister planets were all destroyed, massive geo-nuclear strikes ripping them apart at the core. Its once gentle sun was laced with deadly metals and substances that increased its radiation output tenfold. Within a century after the heresy's end, the final elements of Kalf's atmosphere were burned off. The world left airless, its populace now dwelling in gigantic underground caverns. Upon its surface, the Wordbearers fought the Ultramarines to a standstill. The traitors held superiority in numbers, weaponry and brutality, but the Ultramarines would never give in. As driven as the warriors of Lord Cor Pheron were, they could not dislodge the Ultramarines, many of whom had once called the planet home. The war on Kalf was devastating and horrific. Ancient codes of warfare and martial conduct were broken and set aside by the Wordbearers as all manner of death and destruction was unleashed. The Ultramarines were stunned by the millions of cultists the Wordbearers used as human shields, and disgusted by the hordes of demons unleashed as shock troops. The Wordbearers, in turn, had underestimated the tenacity and resolve of their hated foe. In the end, Lord Cor Pheron was defeated when reinforcements from Rakrag drove the Wordbearers from the surface of Kalf. Cor Pheron retreated all the way to the Maelstrom, a turbulent region of the galaxy where the Immaterium of Chaos seeps through into the material realm of the universe. The Ultramarines were victorious, and their leader, Brother Captain Ventanus, would one day set foot upon a broken Colchis, symbolically capturing the abandoned homeworld of the Legion that had once threatened to enslave Ultramar. While Cor Pheron set his men upon Kalf, Lorgar was leading the rest of the Legion against Terra. The horrors of the battles there were beyond the comprehension of mortal beings and fill many vaults of the Library Sanctus. Lorgar helped smash down the realm of the Master he had once served with the fanaticism of a zealot. Suffice to say, Horus was defeated, and the Legions of Chaos were forced to flee. The word bearers were also forced to retreat to the Eye of Terra, and there they have remained, returning to the Imperium to raid, pillage, and destroy, awaiting the chance to reclaim what was once theirs. As time passed, and the atrocities carried out in the name of Lorgar rose to new heights, he was rewarded by his patrons with the gift of demonhood. Now he truly was the equal of a god, and the birth scream of this newest demon of chaos was said by astropaths to have echoed through the warp with triumphant vindication. From the demon world of Sicarus, Lorgar watches over his legion, directing its myriad wars and engagements, orchestrating vast corruption from within the Imperium that suffers at the hands of its innumerable cults and covens. Unlike many of the other traitor legions, the Wordbearers have remained a unified, if loosely organized, legion. Each of Lorgar's champions have become an amalgamation of brutal war leader and divinely inspired preacher of chaos, known as a Dark Apostle. Each is gifted an army, roughly equivalent to a Space Marine chapter, known as a host, and these armies have proven to be deadly raiding forces against the Imperium. From the two primary bases of the Legion, the demon world of Sicarus and the factory world of Galmec, located within the Maelstrom, the Wordbearers launch twisted wars of faith against the Imperium. On each world they attack, they plant the seeds of future corruption and an ever-expanding web of cults. Fortunately for the Imperium, the cults of the Wordbearers compete heavily with those of the Alpha Legion, a rivalry that has spread to the Legions themselves. Though the Alpha Legion and the Wordbearers have united several times to take part in the Black Crusades of Abaddon, they are more usually in states of bitter division and rivalry. On the worlds they attack, the Wordbearers build huge monuments dedicated to their dark gods, and vast cathedrals are erected, where the chants and prayers of the faithful intermingle with the screams of those being sacrificed in the name of Lorgar. The Wordbearers are the only traitor legion to still observe codes of religion in the form of their dark apostles, and under them have retained a strict regimen of blasphemous prayer and evil devotion that fills much of their time. All Wordbearers are expected to be thoroughly knowledgeable in ritual sacrifice, occult study, and decadent worship. In battle, the Wordbearers are zealous in the extreme, marching forward under huge banners dedicated to chaos in its myriad forms, reciting catechisms as they fight, and slaying the enemy for failing to follow the one true path to righteousness. Their war against the Imperium of Man is total, and it will not end until every icon of the Emperor who betrayed them lies shattered at their feet. Cor Ferron, Master of the Faith. Cor Ferron was Lorgar's spiritual advisor on cultures, and the Primarch valued his counsel above all others. When the visions of the Emperor's arrival on Colchis plagued the young Primarch, it was Cor Ferron who pressed him to take his prophecies to the people. First amongst Lorgar's followers, Cor Ferron followed the Primarch through all his battles against the Covenant, lending him spiritual strength when it seemed there was no end in sight to the wars. Upon his elevation to a Space Marine, Cor Ferron became Lorgar's second-in-command, leading the first company of the Wordbearers. Even in a legion of zealots, Cor Ferron stood out. And it was inevitable. The Legion's chaplains would pick him for further devotional training. Immersed in religious study, Cor Ferron's zeal rose to new heights, and the warriors he led fought with ferocity unmatched by any of their brethren. Cor Ferron advanced quickly through the chaplaincy, the speed of his assimilation of holy texts beyond all mortal comprehension. But a man such as Cor Ferron should never have become a Space Marine. His ambition for power had led him as a child to the Covenant, and thence to Lorgar. As the Wordbearers sat becalmed in deep space, following the Emperor's rebuke of Lorgar's slow advance, it was Cor Ferron who first gave voice to the idea that if the Emperor would not accept their worship, there were other beings in the galaxy who would. Cor Ferron understood Lorgar's need for acceptance, and he knew that the powers of chaos turned no one away. Cor Ferron's quest for power had now led him to chaos, and as Lorgar brooded over the Emperor's reproach, Cor Ferron worked subtle manipulations and whispered appeals to Lorgar's pride, slowly poisoning the Primarch against his former master. Cor Ferron became Master of the Faith and began the process of corrupting the entire Legion, with Lorgar embracing chaos with gusto. It was not long before the Wordbearers were wholly dedicated to the ruinous powers. As before, Cor Ferron was Lorgar's spiritual advisor and led contingents of Wordbearers in some of the most devastating battles of the Horus Heresy. He was eventually defeated by the Ultramarines on Kalf and forced to flee to the Maelstrom. The Ultramarines claimed to have destroyed his battle barge in an engagement on the fringes of the Maelstrom, but such a claim is impossible to verify in this volatile region of space. However, the number of cults and uprisings believed to have been instigated by the Wordbearers in the regions surrounding the Maelstrom makes it increasingly likely that Cor Ferron survived and continues his evil calling to this day. The Purging of Fortrea Quintus. The world of Fortrea Quintus had been isolated from Imperial rule for several centuries, and when the leading edges of the Great Crusade reached the frontier of their system, the planet's monarchy was unwilling to submit itself to Imperial rule and had the Emperor's representative executed. The Wordbearers were the nearest legion, though they were already heavily engaged in fighting orcs in the Charak Nebula. Lorgar dispatched 2,000 warriors to Fortrea Quintus with orders that the planet be pacified within 3 months. The Wordbearers quickly established positions on the planet and found the populace to be living in abject poverty, while the corrupt and ruthless monarchy grew fat off their labours. A well-trained and disciplined army defended the planet's rulers, equipped with advanced weaponry and war machines. Under the command of Captain Javaluk, the Wordbearers steadily pushed their enemies back, their captain rousing the populace with stirring speeches and fiery oratory. In ever-increasing numbers, the people of Fortrea Quintus joined Javaluk's march until his army numbered more than 1 million. A month after the Wordbearers had landed, Captain Javaluk, together with his millions of new followers, launched an attack on the planetary ruler's last bastion, the Palace of Light. The casualties amongst the populace were horrendous, thousands dying every minute as they charged the defended walls, armoured bastions and labyrinthine trench systems of the main gates, armed with little more than pistols and spears. As the carnage continued at the main palace gates, the Wordbearers attacked on another front, catching the defenders off guard and striking for the heart of the palace. Nothing could stand before them, and Javaluk himself captured the planet's ruler, throwing him to the blood-maddened survivors of the battle at the gates. Fully 90% of the population who had joined Javaluk's march were dead, while barely a handful of Wordbearers had been killed. Following the victory, Javaluk began indoctrinal teaching among the populace. When adepts of the Ministerium arrived to bring word of the Emperor to Fortrea Quintus, they were horrified by the Wordbearers' careless use of the populace, but found the people as well-versed in the faith of the Imperium as any loyal world could be. Fortrea Quintus was later cleansed by the Blood Angels, after the planet sided with Horus during the Heresy, and the citizenry rose up to slaughter their Imperial leaders. It is widely believed that the Wordbearers corrupted the populace on the planet's initial capture. Homeworld. Colchis was once a technologically advanced world that regressed to a feudal state during the Age of Strife. The arrival of Lorgar brought with it both a blessing and a curse. A blessing because it brought the world into the fold of the Imperium. A curse because his arrival signalled the planet's death warrant many hundreds of years later. Under Lorgar's brief rule, the planet prospered, but when the Emperor came to Colchis and put Lorgar in command of the Wordbearers, those he left behind allowed the world to fall into decline. When the Ultramarines took the fight to Colchis, they found a devastated world, its industry in ruins and its people clinging desperately to civilization. Given Lorgar's treachery, the Inquisition ordered the planet to be cleansed, and the Ultramarines' battle barge, Octavius, bombarded Colchis with cyclonic torpedoes. The geological structure of Colchis was highly unstable, and the resultant seismic activity split the planet apart. Nothing now remains of Colchis, and where it once existed is still a closely guarded secret. Combat Doctrine. The Wordbearers follow the words of their dark apostles with utter loyalty and faith in battle, and they in turn interpret the will of Lorgar by many and varied means. The means to win a battle may be contained within the entrails of a particular captive, a particular alignment of the stars, or the pattern of cast bones. The Dark Apostles decree how the battle is to be fought, and the warriors of the host obey unquestioningly. Before battle, the Wordbearers gather in ritual prayer, chanting blasphemous hymns and forbidden doctrine to affirm their faith in the power of chaos. Often, these chants will be answered, and it is common for the Wordbearers to fight alongside hideous demonic entities that have made diabolical pacts with the Dark Apostles. The Word-Bearers, then, raise their damned standards high and march into battle beneath cursed icons, bellowing catechisms and canticles of hatred at their foe as hideous drums beat out a dolorous thunder. The relentless advance of the Word-Bearers is a terrifying sight, as the monotonous chant and beat of drums can break even the strongest will. The night before battle, the enemy can hear dark mutterings emanating from all around, echoed in the pounding drums, stretching the nerves and instilling fear in every man. The unshakable belief of the Word-Bearers that they alone can save the galaxy has seen them marching towards certain death, yet unwilling to take a single step backwards. Any victory won over the Word-Bearers is only won at a terrible cost, as their attacks will only ever end when they are all dead. Organization. Alone amongst the Legions of Chaos, the Word-Bearers maintain a facsimile of their former discipline and faith. That faith has been corrupted beyond all recognition, and their discipline now serves darker masters. But their organization bears a twisted resemblance to their former glory. The various war bands of the Word-Bearers, known as Hosts, are scattered throughout the Eye of Terror and the Maelstrom, each led by a mighty champion known as a Dark Apostle. These terrifying warriors fulfill the dual role of chaplain and commander. Veterans of 1,000 times 1,000 battles, these mighty champions of chaos are the epitome of a warrior of chaos. These blood-soaked killers make unspeakable pacts with the entities of the warp, ritually debasing the Crozius Arcanum that once served as their symbol of office by binding demonic creatures within its accursed form. They are a potent reminder that even the most revered champions of the Emperor can fall from grace. Each host varies enormously in size, ranging from the equivalent of a Space Marine battle company to a rare few that almost equal a chapter in size. The organizational makeup of each host differs wildly as well, and can change depending on the whims of the Dark Apostle that leads it. Often, they will suddenly alter the hierarchy of their host for reasons known only to themselves. The reason for these changes has continued to baffle Imperial tacticians, as they often result in unwieldy or tactically inflexible formations that appear to have no battlefield precedent. The Word-Bearers themselves accept these changes without question, and none dare question the Dark Apostles' methods. The most commonly occurring structure discovered is that roughly equating to a Space Marine company, with the host broken down into units of about 12 warriors. Each is commanded by a champion of the Word-Bearers, who strives to become as devout a war leader as the Dark Apostle, in the hope of one day being chosen to succeed him on the occasion of his death. Beliefs. Rooted in the beliefs of Lorgar himself, the Word-Bearers are the heralds of a terrible new age of religious servitude. Only united behind the teachings of a god and offering the obeisance that such a god requires, can the masses of humanity be saved from the perils of alien menace and internal schism. There is only one power in the galaxy worthy of such submission, and that is the Dark Majesty of Chaos. Each warrior of the Word-Bearers is a missionary bringing the darkness of chaos with them, preaching the one true faith to those that will hear it and exterminating those who will not. Their belief is simple: tread the path of chaos or die. Gene Seed. The gene seed of the Word-Bearers was originally thought to be pure, but events subsequent to the Horus Heresy revealed the weaknesses inherent in their genetic makeup. The Space Marines of the Word-Bearers have a marked tendency towards dogged, unquestioning belief and stubbornness that verges on insanity. Since the Heresy, their gene seed has become corrupted beyond redemption, and those negative traits have been magnified to hideous proportions. The Word-Bearers do not display a particular tendency towards mutation, though those who are gifted with such blessings of chaos are much favored among their host. Battle cry. The Word-Bearers do not seem to events any one particular battle cry, favouring instead to march into battle chanting passages from their damned texts over and over. The host's Dark Apostle chooses the exact passage before the battle, and each warrior chants in time with the beating of great drums, either carried into battle by the Word-Bearers themselves or channeled through the amplifiers in their suits of power armour. There we have it, the Word-Bearers. A very interesting and fascinating legion, which you should definitely delve into. I know they get a lot of hate, and I don't know, I think a lot of people are just not interested in them, but you should really look into them. There's a novel series, a Wordbearers novel series, which follows one of the hosts, and it's got some really dark and twisted. So I'm a big Chaos fan. I enjoy the whole Chaos thing, you know. I think it's a lot more interesting than the Imperial side. Yeah, I said it. But it wouldn't be interesting unless you had the Imperial side. And it's not that I don't like the Imperium side of things at all. Yeah, I like it all. But the Chaos stuff has really always fascinated me, because it gives the authors and writers an opportunity to play with ideas that you wouldn't be able to do with the other factions, you know. So I like that. I like the Chaos stuff. It's got a lot of really, really interesting concepts behind there, which I find quite interesting. I'm just saying interesting a lot. I'll stop. But yeah, if you want to know more about the Wordbearers, I get the Wordbearers series. I know, surprise name. But if you pick that up, you'll learn some amazing stuff about them. And there's a couple of other novels. Apocalypse came out recently by Josh Reynolds. That's excellent. An excellent representation of the Wordbearers and how they fight and their beliefs and what they do. So I recommend that. Apocalypse by Josh Reynolds. Excellent novel. And yeah, definitely worth picking up. Anyway, thank you all for supporting the channel. You can see your name scrolling by here. And lads, I really appreciate it. Really means a lot. Really helps. And yeah, thank you very much. I'll be back with more stuff very, very soon. So stay tuned. Do give the video a like. Share if you think anyone you know might be interested. That helps. Definitely make sure you're subscribed. And yeah, I'll see you again next time. And the Lorgar Primarch novel. That's really good as well. Which I was surprised. I didn't think it'd be as good as it turned out to be. It was really, really good. I really enjoyed it. Anyway, I'm going to go. Wordbearers, good legion. See you later. Bye-bye.